Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. It's time once again for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Hey, it's your weekly podcast of unusual, odd, spooky, scary, quirky, spine tingling and chingling. I guess both will work. All sorts of kinds of good stories, unusual stories, weird stories told by the people who experience them. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Beebe, and with me, as always, is your other host, my homie, my ride or die, my oldest friend in the world, not chronologically, but just as far as lengthwise chronologically. I don't know how that would work, maybe chronologically. I mean, but I have friends who are older than him, but it doesn't seem like it sometimes. He's a young old man or an old young man. Or, you know, anyway, it's a smiling sensei, Barry Johnston. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm really good, Professor. How are you, man?
I am doing all right. Thank you very much.
Good, good.
Hey, man, I saw that you and the fam had a nice little family outing over the weekend. What was that all about?
Yeah, we went, we were invited to go to a G League game. So the NBA's farm league, as it were, is called the G League. And so these guys are basically, they're pros, but they're trying to work their way up to the NBA. And yeah. So my wife, she has a business dealing with one of the guys that owns the team, and he invited us to come out to watch them play, which was really fun, man. Didn't know what to expect, and so we showed up to the place, and it's where the Dallas Stars, the hockey team, the pro hockey team, play. Mm-hmm. And it was great. Nice turnout, man. I don't know how many people were there, but it was pretty close to being packed. Oh. But the cool thing is that they gave us a way to get into like the VIP section or whatever.
Ooh.
And so, and they serve like some food and stuff in there. So we go in there, and Spud Webb, who is one of my childhood heroes.
Yep.
He was, gosh, this is the 80s. So mid-80s, early to mid-80s, Spud Webb.
Yeah.
Was a real, like, a freak of nature in the best way.
Yes.
Kind of a small guy. Can't be more than 5'6", maybe 5'7", maybe.
Yeah, something. Yeah, yeah.
But
he, you're right.
Yeah, back when the dunk contest was a big thing, he won it, and he did like a 360. The dude was incredible player. So it was cool because we all got to take our picture with him. He was very nice, and yeah, we just enjoyed ourselves, man. Had a really good night and a fun time, man. Had a really good time.
That's awesome, dude. That's really cool, too, that you randomly got to meet Spud Webb.
I know.
Even I know
yeah.
who Spud Webb is.
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's that known. And, yeah, he was. He was one of the smallest, if not the smallest player in the big, not the big major leagues, but the major,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Teams and like was just a force to be reckoned with. I mean,
for
he was
sure.
this little dude who
yeah.
would be, I mean, and compared to like the regular ball players,
yeah.
you know, who
yeah.
are probably easily a foot taller than him. Some of them are a good chunk.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
towering
yeah.
over him. And yet his ability was just like, he was like a flea.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, he was
like jump so high,
yeah,
and he could move so fast,
yeah,
and it just defied logic,
yeah,
about how, you know, because of how good he is, for his size and being his skills and abilities were able to compensate and even go beyond those good players who who are naturally gifted with height tallness. So it goes to show you don't always have to be super tall to be the king of b-ball.
You just have to be really good, and I had one of his posters on my wall. I had his poster, I had Michael Jordan, and I had Walter Payton on my wall. And so, I told him, I said, you were an inspiration. And he was a huge inspiration to people because talk about overcoming adversity, man. I mean, he was like the shortest guy at that time that had ever been on a team, I think. I mean, I'm pretty sure. And he was incredible, man. You just watch him do his thing and you're like, wow, man, anything's possible. I mean, obviously you have to have the gifts to do it, but it's like, it was just like one of those cool things to recognize as a young kid. And I'll tell you what, dude, those guys, because we got to sit on the floor, those dudes are huge, man. They had a couple of guys, I think one was 7'2" or something. Jeez. Another guy was like 7'1". Just huge guys. And the big difference between those types of guys when we were growing up and now is that those guys can shoot anywhere on the court. They're just not the post down low. They can handle the ball. They can shoot the ball. It's cool to see people that are operating at such a high level and are just like specimens. I mean, it's just, it's amazing to watch, man. So, dude, great time. I mean, anytime you get to hang out with the family, it seems like it's fewer and far, further between those times because they're, the kids are growing up. And and so, we really had a good time. And
It looked like you did. I saw Nikki's Facebook and Instagram some pictures and everything. So that's why I brought it up, because it looked like you had a great time. You got to meet somebody famous, and we love those kinds of stories.
Absolutely, man.
Where you just accidentally brush into somebody famous.
Yeah.
And, you get the chance to hang out and talk with them a little bit,
Yep.
And try not to fanboy, but it's awfully hard. But, try not to fanboy. And
that's the thing, too. And it's like, anytime I've ever been in those situations, and I've been in a few. Like, I always just try to be super respectful of their time because, I mean, I can't even imagine how many times people are trying to pull them away to get pictures and selfies and stuff. Yeah. So it was just real quick. And it was a good opportunity, too, because he was taking pictures with other people. So I didn't feel so bad, But, it was great, man.
But, and he probably still, part of him probably, I mean, he's there. He's at that event. He probably loves it, he's getting recognized still.
Yeah.
Because he probably hasn't played, 20 years, if not
more. Oh, yeah. It's been a while.
So, it is cool. I'm sure there's that aspect of it to him that, the recognition is still getting, people telling him you're a big inspiration.
Yeah.
For some, goofy white kid grew up on a farm in Oklahoma. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that too, because I thought about that when I was talking to him. But I'm like, he's got to understand that, like, that goes past his abilities, went past any race or any. That's the wonderful thing I love so much about sports is that, like, it's really it's the great equalizer. It's like, all that matters is that you are doing your job and that you're doing it well, and that people draw inspiration from that. And even us as like farm kids growing up in the middle of nowhere, we take note of those things. And especially back then, I mean, we didn't have anything but like four or five channels on the freaking TV. So you watched people play our choices were limited. So, for better or worse, but it's great, man. We had a good time. He was such a nice guy too, man. And that is, that's when you've reached those kind of heights in life, it's nice to see people that are still nice and humble and, you know, and cool.
Yeah. And down to earth and still living reality.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
That's always one of those things that, when you do treat somebody just like a regular human being and not like, something, a freak or a curiosity.
Right.
You treat people like you want to be treated, and that goes, it goes a long way. That's why it's one of those with the golden rules.
Absolutely, man. So, absolutely.
But speaking of, things from popping up from childhood, so this is their segue to our guest for this week. Speaking of things, unusual things popping up out of nowhere from your childhood, today's guest, Gabriella, she had an experience like that a few years ago, which reminded her of some very bizarre and unusual and scary things that she had written off in her childhood as just kind of, childhood imagination until she heard other people talking about them and on another podcast. So get ready to strap yourself in for another spooky one, because Gabriella has got it. So Gabriella, joining us from the Rocky Mountain state of Colorado. Thanks for joining us. What's your weird story?
Thank you so much for having me. So, like I said, I'll just dive straight into it. So this was something that I actually just chalked up to childlike imagination and completely swept under the rug for so many years. So in August of 2018, my father-in-law invited me to listen to the show Astonishing Legends, if you're familiar with that one. And I was starting to go through this little phase of thinking, oh, I want to listen to some spooky stories. And one of the episodes was about shadow people. And And so as they're talking about shadow people, I had this overwhelming holy shit, because then I'd realized that these things that I had chalked up to nightmares, childlike imagination, whatever, was 100% aligned with these stories that I was hearing. So then it like kind of took me into the spiral of like remembering what I had experienced. So it started, I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I first remember, I don't even know how old I was. It was when I was living at my grandparents' house, which would have been from ages 1 to 3. I do vaguely remember going to sleep and seeing shadows on the wall and demanding to my mom, there are other people in this room. And she's like, no. There's nothing else going on here. And I'm like, no, I swear there's people that are on the wall next to my bed.
Whoa.
And the first house that my mom and I lived in Las Vegas, we were there for a handful of years. It was less than 5, more than 3. And the way that my room was set up, and we're going to see how it feels sharing this, because I've only ever externally shared this 3 or 4 times, and every single time I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Wow.
So from the way that the room was, if you walked into this bedroom, along the left side of the door frame immediately was just the straight wall that spread the length of the bedroom. And it was just typical 4 walls, no fancy orientation to it. Directly across from the door when you walked in, you'd see a window. And then to the right of the door when you walked in was a very small walk-in closet. But you accessed that walk-in closet from within the room. So it was just kind of the wall of what the other side of the closet was. And so my bed was in the corner opposite from the door that you entered the room from and along the wall. So I remember, I don't even know how many times I would be in bed and I would wake up and I would see a shadow start to come across the wall. And I would see it kind of trail the wall, follow turn the corner along the wall. And so it's like I'm looking at it coming towards me past the window, but still coming. And then it would stop as it was just on the left side of my body. And I remembered very clearly that this figure had a top hat and a long trench coat and red eyes. I see your guys' faces and I hate it. I hate it so much. And so he stopped right next to me, like mid body stopped. And I remember like it wasn't sleep paralysis because I specifically remember pulling my blanket over my head in fear. And then I would wake up the next morning. And like that was it. And I don't even know how many times that happened.
Oh my gosh.
And my mom was like, no, there's no one. It's nothing. And most of the time it was in the middle of the night. And there was one instance in this house where I was going down the hallway in the spare bedroom. It was like back when you used to have like a computer room. Yeah. And so I was in the computer room and I was leaving. And as I closed the door, I remembered seeing a shadow kind of like reach towards like my hand. And I told my mom, I was like, Mom, there's something in this house. There's something going on. There's something that comes at night. There's something. It was the middle of the day and I could feel something in this room. And she's like, I think I was like six.
Wow.
And she's like, oh, it was me. Ha ha ha. Like just trying to like, she's like, I don't know what to do. I'm imagining now as a new parent myself would be like, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and do what I can to like lower your nervous system. And I was like, no, you don't get it. You were in your room. I'm not dumb.
Yeah.
And so that, like, what really rocked me about listening to Astonishing Legends was thinking like, well, wait, what do you mean other people have seen this too?
Right.
What? Hold on a minute. It like completely shook my understanding of reality.
Right.
And I couldn't sleep for like days.
Wow.
Days,
oh
days,
my
days.
Gosh.
I was so terrified because I was like, what does this mean for like anything else I've experienced? So
that happened over like a few years. That was this like a weekly occurrence, would you say?
At least. I have no idea.
That's terrifying.
And then it was like, I listened to different theories. So then I went down this spiral of like paranormal stuff. And I'm like, I hated it. The more that I learned, the more I hated it.
Yeah.
It's easy to say with my mask of humor on right now.
Yeah.
But
was it an older house?
It wasn't that old. Okay. I want to say it was built in like the 60s or 70s. It wasn't, I mean, in like in Vegas, it's not, Vegas isn't a place that you have historical homes or buildings. Like Vegas is notorious for the moment that something is even remotely considered a little bit older, it gets torn down and replaced by something newer.
Yeah.
And it was an area of town that was continuing to develop up. So I would be surprised if the house was built in the 70s.
Okay.
Like it wouldn't have been a very old home.
Sure.
And then from there, so the next home we moved into is actually a new build home. And it was a couple of miles up the road. We moved into this house when I was seven. And I had the bedroom I was in was at the end of a hall. And the room was, or the entire house layout would be almost like the hallways where if you had like a horseshoe kind of a shape, but one of them was tilted the other way. So it was like not quite a Z, was all of the hallways. So my room was all the way on one end of the hallway. My mom's room was all the way on the other side of the house. Mm. So it was my room and then two other bedrooms. One was a spare bedroom. One was my mom's sewing room. Cause my mom's a seamstress now for her. She has a business in that. Now I experienced what I call sleep paralysis or know to be sleep paralysis in that home many, 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 many times. I don't even know how many times. I know I just said that. Now my mom's calling me.
<I hate it. laughs> Oh, wow. Holy shit, man.
Granted, my mom and I do talk a lot, but like this is a very weird time for her to be calling me.
Very odd coincidence. Yeah.
I hate it. So,
now that you're older, like, does your mom have any, like I don't know what you'd call it, but the
experiences.
Where she doesn't. So there's only one thing that she shared with me, because I had asked her after several of the, like, I had recurring dreams, I had sleep paralysis, I get feelings in different areas. And she was like, I have no connection to that. She's like, she did tell me there was one home that she lived in as a kid that she was like, she swore there was something in the closet. And like, that was it for her. And that was enough for her. She was like, and I'm never going to talk about this again.
Wow. Okay.
Like, it was, well, it was Poltergeist. She, like, when she watched Poltergeist, she said she hated watching Poltergeist and she couldn't get through like more than half of it, because that's what it felt like in closet. Wow. So I was like,
when we were little kids, my sister was obsessed with Poltergeist. My sister's not a big horror genre fan, but especially when we were probably like 5 and 6 years old. And because like, that's when HBO only had like 5 things on, and Poltergeist was always on. And my sister would get right in front of the TV screen and just absorb it. Just like the little girl, like Carol Ann, you know, and it freaked me out, man. But like, she would just be in it. Oh God, that's Poltergeist is such a freaky movie. Mm-hmm. I need to go back and watch it.
So I remember watching that, I don't even know how long ago, and then watching it again within the last few years. And I was like, I hate this so much. I hate it. I hate it.
Wow.
So in this, back to this new house that we moved into, new build, my room is on one end of the house, and I was terrified of the dark, and my mom still teases me. She's like, Gabby, you're in your 30s and you still will not sleep in the dark. And I was like, yeah, if my husband is not in the room with me, I'm going to sleep with a light on, and both dogs had better be in the bed. So I would always sleep with the hall light on so that you could see some of the light cracked under the door, but the door was always closed. And I would always fall asleep with the TV on. Like, it was like there was this tiny little TV with rabbit ears, and I'd like plug in whatever device I could to play something. And even if it meant the VHS menu was replaying while I fell asleep, that was fine. And so I had many instances where I would wake up, and it was like, I knew there was something in the room, couldn't move. I mean, like, textbook what I learned to be sleep paralysis, like, as an adult. This is after 2018 that I'm listening to all of these stories and have something to intellectually tie back to my experiences.
Yeah.
And what I had, this is one I haven't shared. I hate this one so much. So I was laying in my bed, and I could have sworn there was a woman in my room. I would have like bet anything. And still, like, I can remember that experience and that feeling of her being in. I'm grabbed by my ankles and like drug out of my bed and down the hallway. Like, I remembered like opening my eyes and seeing like, why is the door to the hallway open, and being drugged down. So I'm like belly down.
Oh my God.
And being drugged down the hallway. And I could feel like I was clawing at the carpet and like the tile, like trying to hold on, and like having my ankles drug up, like I was being drug up into the ceiling. And then like, I wake up and I'm back in my bed, but I feel like I was so nauseous and everything was spinning. Like, I remember being like, I need to throw up, but I still wasn't completely out of the sleep paralysis yet. And I was like, I need to throw up, but I can't move my body at all. And I could still feel like something was in that room with me. Ooh. Like, I still didn't feel like I was alone. Wow. And then the door was closed again and back to like what I remember the room being.
Oh my gosh, man.
Like,
That
I can like still feel my body. Like, I have chills everywhere. Just like, remembering that.
Chills everywhere as well. Oh my God.
And you didn't have any siblings growing up that were living with you or anything like that?
It was just me and my mom. Yeah.
I'm just curious if anybody else had experienced anything like that. That's so crazy, man.
Yeah, I have a half brother, but we share fathers, and he would have been in a different house in a different area of town. And so down the hallway, that thing only happened once to me. And then there was one time that had like same exact textbook, wake up, have the feeling that there's a woman in there, but she's like kind of hiding next to my bed. And then all of a sudden I'm like being drug up, but like to the ceiling of my room this time. And I had a ceiling fan and it almost felt like I was spinning with the ceiling fan. And then again, like back into my body.
Wow.
And so I'm like, I'm an analytical person. Yeah, and so like trying to conceptualize what was happening.
Yeah.
Just like my legs are shaking right now. Like anxiety. Like I have no idea.
Well, that's the thing about these types of stories is that they don't make any sense to a logical brain. Like, and I would put most people being somewhat logical and the ghostly or whatever you want to call it, dark entity encounters are scary. And we've heard quite a few stories, from people that have come on, and they're always incredibly frightening. I mean, it's never like especially the dark entity thing. There's never a good feeling about it. It's like just this overwhelming sense of terror. And being as young as you were, I could imagine that would be horrifying. I mean, it's not normal. So you're not going to go talk to your friends about some shadow being that you saw at 6 years old. You know, so you're left to your own devices of like, how do I figure out what is going on? And like, you know, back then, I don't think it sounded like to me like you kind of lived in the age before a lot of computers and all that kind of stuff. So you couldn't go on the internet and, you know, look up, you know, what are shadow people and stuff like that. It wasn't really till we started this podcast that I learned about shadow people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Scary, yeah. Scary.
I mean, like classic millennial, right? Like there was access to the internet, but to like use a computer to find that kind of information was not really the way that we used computers. Like I was just barely starting to use AIM when I was in my teens. And getting the whole dial up sound that we're all traumatized by.
So, wait forever just to send an email or
And so I would say that these all happened. I want to say the experiences in that room, I would put like 12, 13.
Yeah.
As my age.
Wow. That's already a hard age. That's a tough age.
It's hard enough as is.
Yeah.
Also being a woman in Las Vegas, hard enough as is going through puberty and that landscape, right?
That's another thing is that's the classic like poltergeist type age. Whenever a typical poltergeist happens, it's often with a young woman who is starting to go into puberty or in puberty. That's like one of those really weird kind of coincidental things that seems to be part of that diagram, you know, it's so strange. And it is how, I mean, like Grace said, that's a tough age. You can't talk to your peers about it at that age because anything that is, especially for girls, anything that is unusual or not normal or whatever that makes you even the slightest degree of different is verboten. You just do not talk about that because that can get you, you know, ostracized by a peer group or something, you know?
Oh, easily. And I was not one of the cool kids either. Like, I was grasping at straws for anything to be accepted by people, right? I didn't fit in.
Here comes Gabby with her crazy fucking story.
Like
you're going to do that.
Here she is again, that one. I was already like the weird nerd, like late bloomer guy. Awkward. And I do remember trying to find different outlets for some of these things, and in whatever way that I could make sense of it, which is really an interesting parallel to draw now, is like I use creative outlets to try and process.
Yeah.
So I used to have this recurring nightmare in that house. My mom used to travel a lot for work. My parents were separated. And from the time that I was 15, my father chose not to have me in his life. So I was at my mom's house. My grandparents were down the street. So oftentimes, and they were within walking distance. So if my mom was traveling for a prolonged period of time, I would stay with my grandparents. And if it was something like she'd be home late or whatever, like I would be at home, knew that my grandparents were down the road. Like it was pretty, I was like a very vanilla, like good kid.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was kind of like no big deal. So in this recurring nightmare, the way that it always began was the same. That I was at home, my mom was like, her flight was delayed, and I just decided to stay at home, and it was starting to get dark, so I was getting ready to go to bed. And I was like, the TV had flashed to, hey, breaking news, there's like a wanted criminal on the loose, multiple like murder suspect in this neighborhood, which is the neighborhood that I was living in, like lock up. Jeez. Was that like always the same exact way that this nightmare started.
Wow.
And so I go through the house and I'm like, okay, I'm closing everything. I'm locking all the doors. Every single time it was, oh, but I forgot to check that the garage door is closed. So then I go around to go to the garage door from the house and I open the door. And that was like the consistent part. Now, every single time it ended a little bit differently. It was a car that drove through the house and like pinned me to a wall. It was, I got sucked into the garage. It was that I went into the garage to click the button to close the garage door. And this murderer person was right in the garage. Like it was always something ended me. That was right in that moment of me opening that garage door or the door from the house to the garage. And my outlet from that was by drawing like the profile of what I remembered this like character to be. And I remember like getting in trouble in my art class at one point because one of the nightmares was that he was in the garage with a knife. And all I could see was the parallel of like, or the parallel, the profile of his face and his body and the shine of the knife. And so I like painted this in my art class because I couldn't talk to anybody about it. So that was my outlet. And I remember getting in trouble for like painting a violent picture in art class.
Damn.
And at least I was such a goody two shoes that people were like, she's not going to do anything, but like, this is a little concerning.
Right.
And
yes,
it was in college that I can't, like, I'd forgotten about that. And then it was after I left college that I had a portfolio of like my old paintings that I saw that in there. And I was like, I hate that I remember this now, like that this still exists. And I remember throwing it out years and years and years ago.
Wow.
But wow. I know I have a lot of those different drawings of some of those like different dark things that I threw away.
Wow.
Like, I don't need to remember these.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, it seems like that's something that you obviously, by doing that process, you were able to kind of get it out, to process it and get it out and release it from you. And then, yeah, by acknowledging that, okay, I don't, for whatever reason, you can let this go, you know, and get rid of it. And it seems like a very healthy psychological kind of a thing.
Yeah, there's almost like a somatic kind of like release about that, which feels very like, you know, Boulder, Colorado of me to say.
Right. Yeah, but you know, Las Vegas is weird though too, because
Las Vegas is weird.
It is, and there's a dark underbelly there. There's lots of weird, like, extraterrestrial phenomenon that goes there, you know, goes on there. I don't know a ton about the history of Las Vegas, but
it's not a pretty history.
Yeah.
It's a lot of violence there.
Right.
And still,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that's the thing. It was, you know, it was set up by gangsters.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's how it was established and became what it is, you know, now, and what it's known for, you know, all the gambling and everything, but it was established by like gangsters, like Bugsy Siegel was one of the people that went out there and, you know, was planted the trees, for lack of a better word, you know. So it's got a history of violence. It's got a history of, like,
debauchery.
And, you know, good times, but also a lot of bad times. But, yeah, it's got a lot of that high emotional kind of stuff that seems to attract the kind of, you know, the spooky things, the darker things, you know, because, like, you find where a lot of times with hauntings, people say that there a lot of those are sometimes there. It's because it's like a psychic scar because of like high, you know, the emotion that created the situation. And, you know, again, with violence and stuff like that, then that's just, you know, when it's in a lens, it's a focused area where there's like that going on. So,
Yeah. It doesn't have to be an old house to have some weird shit going on. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, kind of like speaking to back to the theme of like poltergeist is, you know, there's a lot of Native American land out in Nevada. I mean, granted, our entire country is, but like some like more freshly like unearthed and built upon. And there are plenty like several communities nearby that are still existing and thriving and doing their thing. And to kind of wrap like my last interaction with this like hat man, as I've heard him called, my family, my mom and my grandmother and I would go to like this Christian mega church when I was growing up. I feel like they were very popular in the early 2000s.
Well, in Texas, they're still popular.
In Texas, they're still thriving. And so this church that we're going to, I was going to like the teen classes that were like in the upper level from where the main service was happening. And they had this like teen retreat that my mom agreed for me to go to and thought it would be good for me. So, and I think she thought it would be good for me. Like I begged to go to this thing.
I want to
go make friends. I want to be cool. Be away from family. And
Mary and I, we grew up in the Methodist church in Oklahoma, and Oklahoma is all like that. Oklahoma is like basically one big mega church. But you know, but it's all like, you know, little own different rooms or whatever, you know, everybody, it's a big part of the culture going to church.
Oh yeah.
And all of that. So, we were very familiar with the church youth retreats and church camp and all of that stuff. So
it was the one and only one that I went to. And so I had gone, we had like these, I don't remember how far out from Vegas it was. It couldn't have been that far. But there were these different cabins. And so I'm in this girl's cabin. There were a few cabins for each gender. And so I'm in this girl's cabin and I'm in a top bunk thinking I'm cool. And I remember waking up one night and again, like being so certain that this shadow man was around, but he couldn't get in. And I knew that he was trying to get into whatever this cabin was. And what was different about this situation was usually he was in my room and then I wouldn't see whatever, like when he passed by the window, I wouldn't see the top half of him. I would just see the bottom half of his shadow. But this time I saw the top half of him on the other side of the window pass by. Like I knew he was tracing around trying to figure out how to get in. And I remember panicking and doing my normal the sheets covers are going to protect me mechanism. And I wake up in the morning and there was one girl in this camp that a lot of the other girls, I would say they were bullying her. She was different. And someone that like clearly had some of kind of connection to some spiritual things. And she didn't really fit in with the good girl Christian kind of vibe that was the popular girls in this group. And part of their kind of, she'd gone off on something and they were like, we're going to go through her notebook. And I just so happened to be sitting up on my bunk. And I remember looking down and they're flipping through her drawings. And she had them dated, that the one that she had dated for that day, which was the day after I had seen the shadow man in the window, was a drawing of the shadow man in the window.
Yeah.
And I was...
Whoa.
So that was like the first time that I was like, I'm not crazy. Like,
did you ask her about that? Or
I no? didn't. I was so terrified. Wow. I was so terrified. I didn't want to, especially with the way that these other girls were bullying her. I didn't have it in me to be like, wait, but I saw that guy too.
Sure.
So this other kind of like fear of fitting in thing, but
wow. Yeah, I was like, so that gave you some confirmation that you weren't crazy, right?
It gave me confirmation, but then even like thinking about it now is that means that, you know, yeah, there's like corroboration to it, right? This like two people who hadn't connected on it, talked about it, the timeline aligns, the same visual. So I like what I've been trying to wrap my head around is it's not just an individual experience.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just the mind blowing nature of like, what does that mean?
Well, like Mary said, we've heard when people talk about shadow people, there are a few that, you know, you hear about like just an outline, a silhouette, and that are like kind of vague and nondescript. But the one that is unique that you always hear about is the top hat man, the one with the top hat, and who's like super scary tall, and he has like this top hat. Our very first guest on the podcast, his mom told him a story from when she was pregnant with one of his brothers, how she was in bed one day and she saw something, what she described as Abe Lincoln's ghost. It was an incredibly dark shadow that was long and tall and had a top hat on. And so, you know, that's the one. I mean, it's like whatever these things are, whatever it is, that's the one that it really is known and noticed and gets and is talked about recurringly by people who have no connections, who have no idea that other people have seen this, you know. And it's kind of like part of, I don't know if it's part of, you know, maybe it's part of our collective unconsciousness. Like,
I was just thinking that, like some kind of cult, like super conscious sort of piece also, there. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a phenomenon. It's called the that guy, he's that guy syndrome or whatever. And it's a man who appears in a lot of people's dreams. That is this generic figure of a man. They don't know who he is. He's just that guy. And he's this character that kind of keeps appearing in people's dreams. And it's enough to where enough people have like described him and recognized him that they, when they put up a drawing of him, everybody's like, it's just that guy. And it's like one of those strange things. So it's, you know, so it's, you know, either we're all got some, and I do believe that somehow we are, have a kind of connectedness, you know, whether it's like our bioelectricity or if it's like, you know, maybe we're some kind of brainwave field, psychic field or something. I don't know exactly what it would be, or, you know, energies or whatever, because I don't know. But I think there is a connection throughout of us all, you know, not just as humans, but as the entire planet, as an organism. It's kind of like that. So it's kind of like some cells know how other cells are reacting and need help over here and help over there without being, you know, having a boss cell saying, go over here, go over there. But it's kind of like that thing where there's something that connects us. And, you know, it seems like, you know, some people have these abilities to perceive and they see these things individually of each other that are exactly or the same or close enough to where it's like 99% or more, you know. And it's just this really, it just, to me, it just raises it raises the credibility of it. It raises the weirdness factor, the high strangeness of it all, the fact that so many people have seen those things, and it's almost the exact same thing. And, you know, with cross cultures, cross cultural cut boundaries, you know, things that people don't know what necessarily a top hat is, but they know that this is this kind of a thing. It's just, it's a remarkable, I don't know, it's not coincidence, but it's a remarkable event. It's a remarkable thing. And it's just, it just adds to the mystery and the wonder and the spookiness of it all.
Yeah, it does. Cause especially like later on, not having anything intellectualized for myself, not referencing any information up until like 2018, hearing someone else's story on a podcast and like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And the more that I had opened up about it and I'd shared with a couple of my friends, and one wonderful friend of mine who like has different connections and like reads tarot cards and feels very connected to that side of the world, is like, oh shit, you've seen the Hat Man? That's scary as hell. And I was like, thank you. That's not the response. Like, right. Thank you. But also that's not really what I wanted to hear, was straight to the pits of like, how did you happen to experience one of the most terrifying unknown forces?
Right.
Like, really not the validation that I was going for.
Sure. Yeah. But you know, it is like, it does take someone special that has that perceptive ability, and maybe the girl that at the camp had the same special ability. And that is, we've talked about this before on the podcast. We've all had weird shit happen to us that we can't put our finger on, and it defies any sort of explanation at all. And unless you've had it happen to you, you can't really truly explain what the experience is like. But the fact that we are able to tap into something that isn't normal or the everyday sort of thing, it is one of those things where it's like, what is that? Is it the collective consciousness? Did we create these things? Are these, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, it's like, did we create these entities or these things by our psyche or whatever it is? But the truth of the matter is, they're out there and they take different shapes. They take different forms. People see lots of weird, wild stuff. But that's why we like having people like you on here, so we can have these conversations. You know, your unique story is very interesting, and it's yours. And I want to ask you, where do you fall on this? Like, do you think it was something of, you know, spiritual nature, or do you have any thoughts on any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think I'm still kind of reconciling where I feel I land on my connection and what I'm able to pick up on. Cause I do have some other things that I've noticed I pick up on. Okay. And the more that I've noticed I open myself up to the possibility of, the more I experience.
Okay.
Which also scares the crap out of me.
Yeah.
To be completely honest.
Sure.
And so,
Yeah,
and it's like this, I even like a couple days ago, so you ask like kind of where I sit on it, and do you mean like in terms of just like, what does this mean? What does this mean for me, or like the Hat Man in particular?
All of it. You know what I mean?
All like, of the things.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because everyone has their own sort of interpretation. Growing up in a religious background, it has its positive and negatives.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So as an adult, and we see things differently than the way that we did when we were kids, like sometimes it's not all black and white, you know, there's a lot of gray. So,
oh yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
Are you embracing that? Are you exploring that part of you? Because I can tell that you probably have a part of you that is, you know.
Well, the ick face that she just
the made. Face that I just made. So there's something that I am currently grappling with. I have grappled with. I kind of also attribute it partially to like my father's side of the family. They're Greek. They're immigrants from Greece, and that's a very superstitious culture.
Yeah, man.
And so there was a lot of. There were still like different things that happened within that house. And my father's mother, she was very superstitious. And it was always like, we bring home flowers from the church and we put them upside down and we preserve them because that helps to keep positive energy. And
sure, it keeps bad energy
out. She used like sage and frankincense all the time to cleanse the house.
Yeah.
And so I almost feel like if there's the consideration I've heard that I'm grappling with of there being some kind of like genetic component is I feel like it would be from that side.
Sure.
I do think there's something there, and really the overall lesson that I've gotten is there's so much more to this world than we understand, and that is okay.
Right.
And I feel like I was really leaning into it like 2019 to 2021, 2022. Like I went deep. I was just like nonstop paranormal podcasts, all of them, listened everything.
Yeah.
Looked up stuff like to my own detriment.
Yeah.
And then I had to take a little break from it when I was pregnant with my daughter. I was like, I think I've kind of become addicted to this like rush that there is of like hearing other people's stories, and I kind of need to chill out because maybe it's not good for the other human that's growing in my body.
Right.
And this is a part of this grappling.
You could be tuning her frequency into where she's really dialed in now. She's going to just, is this the toddler has she
that have anything? On the
Has she said anything?
It's interesting. So only recently I started thinking like, cause she just started like sleeping on her back again. And I know that's typically when you'll have sleep paralysis. And so I think to myself, like, I'm curious if she sees anything and how I can be a person who's like supportive and validating for her to be like, you're not alone. And also offer her tools to be a force of light and not feel like completely trapped by the darkness. So when I was really in this spiral for myself, I noticed when I would feel scared and when I would feel overwhelmed by like whatever I was feeling around me, because I do feel like there was a part of me that was opening myself up to more than I knew what to do with energetically around me. And so I would just like repeat to myself, I'd be like, I'm only accepting love and light. I'm not accepting any darkness around me. And I would just kind of like repeat something of that nature, of that flavor. Mm-hmm. And it would just like kind of cleanse how I felt. And I don't know if it was like a psychosomatic thing or if there's something to it. I think there is something more to it.
Sure, man.
No matter how it works, right?
No matter how, it does.
Yeah.
It works. So, that's the underlying thing. That's the most important thing about it.
Yeah. So like back to your, like, where do I sit now? And the overall theme is like, I think there's so much more out there than we know I'm working on accepting that for myself. Cause I think that's been one of the hardest things about myself to accept. And it was actually a week ago today, I was recording an episode for my own podcast that I was sharing with a friend of mine, like, my podcast is all about facing our own beliefs.
What's it called, by the way?
Oh, it's called Nexus of Narratives.
Okay, great.
Excellent. Yeah. That's a really cool name.
Yeah.
Thanks. So yeah, it's having people come on and share stories of when they've encountered and faced and taken a hard look at their own beliefs, whether about themselves or the world around them. And I said, you know what? I've had a few things come up that's really like invited me to face my own beliefs, and it's around my spirituality. So I'm going to talk about that. Great. So that episode actually just came out on Monday, but I had shared how one of the people that I connected with and just did like a pre-interview for the podcast, she's a psychic medium. And she's like, do you know what that means? And I'm like, oh, actually I do. Like, I'm so excited to say I do know what that means.
Yeah.
And so we're starting to talk logistics about the podcast. And she's like, okay, Gabby, I wasn't planning on doing a reading today, but there's this feminine force that's just like really speaking so clearly to me. Can I share what she's sharing with you? And I was like, oh, I'm not ready for this, but yeah. And so through her and I going back and forth and me being very intentional about like not giving anything away, because I was still kind of skeptical. I was like, I don't not believe in it, but I do know that there are a lot of people who say that they have something and it's just like they get context clues, right?
Yeah.
And so she had essentially shared with me that she was speaking with the woman who I've been grappling with calling my spirit guide. That I had seen I have a friend who studied shamanism and does spiritual healing and actually did a spiritual healing session on me while I was pregnant, just a few weeks out from my due date. And I had like seen this woman, felt safe with her. There was this whole experience of like me holding hands with like the spirit of my uncle who had passed when I was 15. He took his own life. I'm trying to like make this way shorter than it's not like we're in a rush. No, and I'm good. Trying to give you the like high level.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
But, so in this spiritual healing session, you know, I'm just meditating and she says, hey, you know, you might see visualizations. And I'm like, all right, I'm a creative person. I love visualizing things. So maybe stuff will come to me. And so, yes, I picture this woman who's dancing. It's just like really beautiful dancing and has this long dress. Like I can't see her hair. She has this long, dark hair. And so I'm kind of following her through this like desert landscape. And I'm holding hands with who I find to be is my uncle that took his life when I was 15. And he was like a father figure to me. And we're walking along. And then as we're going, all of a sudden, like I had this sensation that there was like a spirit in my room, like maybe 10 feet away from me in the shape of a vulture. And this vulture I had seen 5-10 times as I had been working on going into deep meditations. It was something I had started doing within the last year. And I couldn't go into deep meditations because I'd see this vulture figure and it scared the shit out of me. And I'm like, what do you want? Who are you? What do you want? And it's just like this 6-foot vulture that was just there. And now this thing was in my room and I knew it was in my room, even though I couldn't see it. And so then she was still kind of dancing and essentially like telling me that this thing was okay and had guided me to essentially like give my uncle to this person and like let him continue walking towards this vulture. And then she took my hand and then we started dancing. And because I'm a dancer, that's one of the things that I do as a creative outlet. And then the vulture was gone. And as I'm like digesting this with my friend after we wrap everything up, she was like, well, I wonder if that was a psychopomp, was like her thought of like, because he was really into Native American culture. And she's like, you know, typically that's what you know of as a creature that takes spirits to the other side, mm-hmm. or vultures. So maybe that was the only way of you really understanding that, like, you're holding on to this part of him and like not letting him move on because you're like so desperately clinging on to that part of him.
Wow.
And so I've seen that vulture and I've seen her like a lot in the last like year. And so then to be speaking with this woman who's a psychic medium, I talked to her just over a week ago and she's like, yeah, it's this feminine figure. She's very maternal. And she says she's been with you for a while and like actually starts drawing things that are parallel to like visualizations that I've had when meditating and seeing her. And I'm like, there's no way that you have any reason to know this. And so for me, it's all like just really broadened my view of what is. And like you said earlier, it's not like black and white. It's not that simple. And I think my practice is like surrendering to that and being okay with it. And what I'm trying to do right now is I think I'm getting all of these signs, in my opinion, that the invitation is for me to be more open to it and allow that to be part of my power and not letting it take power from me.
Yeah.
And as a person who loves control, loves predictability, loves coming across like I have it all together, that's really hard for me.
Sure.
So,
well, and
yeah, it's
and
definitely locking my world.
Because you're opening yourself up to something and you don't know where it goes, you know, but like, that's pretty amazing. It's an amazing story that... Yeah. All these symbolisms in life, it's like no matter what your background comes from, if the intent is there, you can put it to good use. You know what I mean?
It seems to me that what you're doing is you're opening yourself to a different reality, the reality, the one that you and most people, most of us as human beings, naturally we want to have structure and we want to know concretely as much as possible where we exist. And that's why we have a lot of our built-in systems and built-in beliefs. But what you're doing now is you're opening yourself to a greater mystery. You're opening yourself to the possible and the less probable, you know, you're allowing yourself to kind of explore that outside of you, which is, you know, ultimately what we all kind of want to get towards. But a lot of people are too rigidly stuck with their, this is what I know, and this is only what I want to hold on. This is what I want to hold on to. And I don't want to have that much unexplainability to me, you know, to reality, to the world, to all of these things. And so it just, you know, that's, so you're it seems that's, I don't know, that's really challenging, but also really, really like fascinating and exciting place to be.
Yeah, it is. Because it's interesting, as you were saying that, I was thinking about like when I share some of these things with my husband, he'll straight up be like, nope, nope, no, no, nope, no.
Yeah.
Thanks. No.
Understandably.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, totally. And his mom is like talking about seeing La Llorona when she was a kid in Guatemala. And he's like, no, no, thanks. No.
Yeah. It's almost always like that. We've encountered people who have abilities, who have had experiences, and their partners are just like either completely willfully cut off, or there are people out there who are just kind of ghost blind. And I'm notorious on this podcast for being like that, for not having any kind of that type of ability. And even famously, I lived in an apartment in college that was a house that had been broken up into apartments that was extremely haunted, apparently. And the girl that I knew who lived in the apartment before me, although I didn't know she lived in this apartment, she moved out early because she just got too scared of too many things. It's fine, don't worry. And I moved in and I had no experiences whatsoever. So it's, yeah. So I've got that ability. And, but yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, you find that with partners who are like, it's tuned in and others are like completely just tuned.
This is all her.
Are you good?
Oh my gosh. She always wants to watch puppy videos. But yeah, like I can't imagine, like almost, it sounds pretty blissful to be like, oh, yeah, apparently people are having experiences in these places. And it's like, oh, really? Here? Like, that sounds delightful.
Yeah, right.
I do remember there was one day that a couple of friends and I were sharing, like, it was like our, I always know friendships are good and like solid when we start talking about ghost stories. Yeah. And so I had a couple of friends that she'd shared. It was like her sister had experienced something and it was not too far from here. And it was like a new build and it was affecting their kids. I can't remember the story exactly, but I go to relay it to my husband. He just starts crying. And I'm like, what? He's like, I can't handle this being a possibility. Like, and this is the only way that my body knows how to comprehend it is to just start crying. It was maybe one of three times I've seen the man cry.
That's funny.
Wow.
We've all got our way to deal with it, right?
Yeah.
So, let me ask you a couple of questions. And I typically ask this for especially people who have dealt with the supernatural kind of thing, especially early on. But when you were little, did you ever play with a Ouija board?
No.
No? Okay.
I am terrified of Ouija boards.
That's our week.
I have shared a room with a Ouija board that was in a box and in a closet, and I was like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
So you never did anything like that? Did you ever do light as a feather, stiff as a board at any kind of like little like sleepovers? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like I don't think so. Like it's, but I'm not 100% confident to say definitely not.
That's it's. I always almost exclusively ask the women that because that's a little girl game. It seems the little boys don't play games like that. Little boys just, you know, wrestle and beat the hell out of each other. But little girls, will, you know, they'll play light as a feather, stiff as a board. And, you know, and
which I think I made it 2/3 of the way through Bloody Mary once as a kid. Like,
yeah, that's a scary one.
Yeah. Once again, never did it because I was way too scared. I was always very scared as a little kid. So I didn't do any of those types of things. But I'm always curious about hearing about. Do you remember how you what the practice, what you did, or what you said the invoke, the ceremony, the ritual, I guess,
of Bloody Mary?
Yeah, how did you do it? Because it seems to vary from place to place.
This was very unofficial. We were at school. I was in elementary school. And it was like the lights were off in the bathroom, and there were a few girls that we'd like went and stood in front of the mirror, and I wasn't even in front of the mirror for the two of the three. Like, I ran out, and I was like, hell no. No, not going to be a part of this.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no formality.
Yeah.
None of that.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, listen, we know you got to go. We got a little one that's begging for your time, and we appreciate you taking your time. How can people get in touch with you? And again, plug your podcast. We want people to check it out.
Yeah. Thank you. So I'm happy to share some information if you put it in the show notes, but, easiest way people can find me is through my podcast and my website, Nexus of Narratives. That's NexusOfNarratives. That's the name of the podcast. That's the website as well. I do, story sharing on that platform. Professionally, I do coaching and consulting. I support people in building their leadership, building their business, strategic plans, all of that fun stuff that we take a analyst brain for.
Cool.
But yeah, take a listen to my podcast. It's my way of working to bring people together across different belief systems. We're in a world that's so divided right now across this is right, that's right. And it's like, actually, what brings us together is a common thread between humans.
Yes.
That's one of the biggest parts of my purpose.
That's awesome.
In this life. So
good.
Yeah.
Good for you. We feel the same way. So
thank you.
Just like the weird stories that bring people together.
Yeah. Right. Always looking for those common threads. So thank you both for your time so much.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll have some fun little ad libs of my toddler here.
That's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
it's so always much. a fun little sound to hear in my episodes too.
Oh, so that's great.
Hear from downstairs.
That's great. Hey, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need a new ad for our merch store.
Our merch store.
I've had a few people reach out to me and ask me, just how do we get What's Your Weird Story merch?
Huh. How do we get that What's Your Weird Story merch?
What's dash your, spelled Y-E-R, dash weird dash story dot myspreadshop dot com.
That's what's dash your, spelled Y-E-R dash weird dash story dot myspreadshop dot com.
That's correct. Get in touch with us. Go buy some merch. We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? If any of our listeners out there has some really cool ideas or has some really cool What's Your Weird Story type art that they want to see on a t-shirt, get a hold of us. Maybe it'll happen.
More shadow people.
Dude, oh, the Hat Man strikes again. Oh, man, I wonder how many times we've had people have seen the Hat Man on this podcast. I know it's probably a dozen.
Yeah. It's been a good chunk, man. And it's freaky. It's kind of what we were talking about. It's interesting that, like, it's sort of a thing that people have this story and they didn't even know what the thing was called.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a thing. I don't know how to explain it, but it's weird, man. Very weird.
Yeah. This whatever it is, you know, and I've heard all sorts of speculation on the Hat Man, like that he's some kind of interdimensional traveler, and that the hat is, like, you know, part of his apparatus, his suit that allows him to go in between places, you know, which, I mean, that's a good explanation as any you could have.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I mean, it could be Beth's even trying to rationalize something that is even weirder that we can't understand and we just, you know, can't wrap our brains around.
Yeah, for sure. And then, the crazy dreams that she was having about being dragged out of bed. Dude. She's freaky, man.
Sleep paralysis, regardless of what, if it's just normal sleep paralysis where you wake up and your body's not responding, that's spooky enough. But when you're having the, you know, events around it, it's scary.
Yeah, for sure. And just amazing. And, you know, she's sort of finding her way back into this weird world and trying to figure it all out. And I think that's wonderful. You know, it's funny how we can sometimes put these things on the back burner and then we slowly sort of lose those memories, and then something happens that brings those things back. And it's another wild thing about the brain, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And another just wild thing about life is that we have all these experiences in our lives, and sometimes we just kind of, we push them away or we just forget them over time because, you know, your brain fills up with all these other experiences and all these other things of life.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, somebody drops a pebble into the pond of your brain and it ripples out and all of a sudden, I remember.
Yeah.
This thing. I remember those things that happened that I kind of, you know, I pushed it away or I pushed down or just tried to ignore.
Right.
And which is a completely legitimate response because, I mean, that's often how people survive, you know, with things that they can't comprehend or too scary or too, you know, difficult to deal with if they don't have the coping mechanisms.
Yeah. I mean,
and all forms of psychology that happens, you know, all forms of, you know, repressed memories and such. So, you know, it makes total sense. And yeah, she is on a path of discovery through her, you know, her personal journey, but also it's been extended through her podcast, the Nexus of Narratives. So do go follow that, like that, and listen to her stories, listen to her interviews, and, you know, be part of that as well, because you know, that's a really cool, it's a really cool show and really cool idea. We like it. So
absolutely.
You know, we always encourage everyone to go and check out other podcasts of our, that our guests have been on, and other podcasts. You know, hey, we enjoy all sorts of different kinds of podcasts ourselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's fun, and it, you know, it makes, it adds to that beautiful variety of life. This gives us that spice that makes us get through the day.
Absolutely. One of the cool things is that if there's something you're interested in, there's a podcast for it somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You're going to be able to find something on it, and that's the cool thing. You know, there's so many niche things out there that not a lot of people know about, but I can guarantee you somebody's probably talked about it somewhere. Yep. So, yeah. And we want you to come on. We want you to tell your weird story or your story that may seem normal to you, but maybe in the right context, maybe a little bit different than someone else's story of life or whatever you may have. You know, this is a great example. Again, we bring somebody on, she's got some stories, we just start talking, and then we end up here where we have this great conversation, and we've had such a wonderful time meeting a new friend.
Yes, absolutely. And also, you know, it doesn't have to be a spooky story. You know, it can be like Barry's brush, you know, with celebrity, with run-in with fame. We always enjoy those. We always love hearing good stories of, you know, people being stupid kids, like when they're little or in high school and getting in trouble or avoiding trouble, you know, and having a good laugh about that. We've had so many of our own we shared, and a lot that, you know, eventually maybe someday we'll share when we're quite certain that all precedents and legalities are clear for us to do so.
Yeah, man, for sure. That's going to have to be a later on in life type thing.
Yeah, you know. When But we hope that won't be too soon, because we don't, that means we're running out of stories for you guys for shared from your perspective. So do join us, you know, and do follow us, like us, subscribe, give us a rating if you can. Comment, you know, you can email us a story, or you can email us a comment or questions at wywspod@gmail.com, or you can contact us through Facebook and Instagram, ask us questions, send us cool, funny memes, weird memes. I always love a weird meme. I got one of my friends and former guest, Vinny, he sends me these really strange, we send each other really strange things, typically from Japan, because Japan's got weird locked in on a whole other beautiful,
yeah, oh, for sure,
psychedelic and weird neon colored hyperactive level. It's brilliant stuff. Yeah, so share that stuff. You know, I find some good jump scares. I got a bunch of people with a good jump scare not too long ago. And everybody just basically calling me a dick or getting
down. So good. Oh, that's great.
But, you know, it's fun. All in good fun. And that's, you know, so we want to hear your stories. Hey, maybe you just pulled off a good scare of somebody. You tricked them. Love hearing those stories, too. So, yeah, open completely to all kinds of experiences. Let us know and share yours, and you know, we'll keep Weirdsville growing in the best way possible. So thanks for listening. Join us next week for another incredible episode. Another return guest as well, Barnaby Jones, who's one of our favorite names in podcasting. But also, Barnaby's got some really cool stuff, and he's got telling us about this awesome fest that they're going to be having up north very soon here. So check it out, and we will see you next time here on the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Love you guys. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.